We are in Revelation chapter 22, resuming our study at verse 10. Revelation 22, 10. The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, and the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, fully furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that will be Revelation chapter 22, verse 10. Prior to our Bible study, we'll spend a few moments in silent prayer, giving us the opportunity to use the rebound technique, which is the absolute side of our spiritual life, diagrammed on the board behind me. This is the key element. Once you're a believer, that's no longer an issue. This is the issue. It's a battle for your thinking. You're either thinking the human viewpoint, the cosmic system, or the divine viewpoint in the divine dynasphere. Every time we sin, we're out of the filling of the Holy Spirit, and we're in the cosmos. We got to get back. And that's 1 John 1:9, rebound, simply name a known sin. And lots of things to get us out, people testing, thought testing, system testing, all sorts of issues will get you out quicker than a New York minute. If you're not constantly aware of your situation, which we call situational awareness in the military. But once you're out, you simply name a known sin and you're back. And then you can continue to work on the progressive side. And if you've been here in this Bible class for more than a few times, you're already up the ladder to some degree. I don't know where you're at. You probably don't know where you're at, but you're somewhere. And so that's our goal here, is to keep moving forward, moving forward. So we'll take a few moments in silent, take a few moments to use this opportunity in silent prayer to adjust to the plan of God. Let us pray. Father, thank you again for the privilege of gathering here this morning and studying your holy word. We thank you for all that you have done for us in eternity past. We thank you that you have counted us worthy to study your word and to move forward in your plan. We know that you are glorified only in one way, and that is by us learning and applying Bible doctrine. We ask that you will challenge us to remember these things in Christ's name. Amen. We left off with the doctrine of time, which is on page 682 in your book. We have a wonderful diagram there, which is more complex than the one I have on the board. X is when you're born again. X is when you're born into this world, under the wrath of God, as we all were at one time. We have a dotted line because this is wasted time. Y is when you're born again. Whenever that occurred, you believe that Christ died for your sins, and boom, you receive 40 things. One of those 40 things is revocable. The rest of them are irrevocable. The only one that is revocable is this one, because when you're born again, you're filled with God, the Holy Spirit. When you sin, you're in the cosmos. The vast majority of Christians, boom, boom, boom. And my boom, 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 if you're in the audio world only, is I pointed to eternal security. I pointed to the bottom circle, which is filling God, the Holy Spirit, and time. When you commit your first sin, you're in the cosmic system, and they never get out. They stay in the cosmos their entire life on this earth in a mortal body, and that's it. So they'll be saved. They'll be in heaven, but they never advanced up this 45-degree line as God has commanded us to do. So that is something that's revocable, because the filling of the Holy Spirit is not permanent. The indwelling is permanent. That's one of those 40 things. Now, there's some potentials in the 40 things as well. God bestows on you a portfolio of invisible assets, but you can't get those things unless you fulfill the conditions of the escrow. But that's not revocable. It's there. It's given to you. Whether you take advantage of it or not is a different issue. The only one that is revocable is this. But see, God has a remedy for that, so you can get back, and that's the rebound technique. But we did look at the issue of time, and that diagram envisions the positive believer moving up. This straight line is God's plan for your life, and his plan, of course, is for you never to sin and to move and stay hot for Bible doctrine, move all the way up to maturity. Only one human did that. That's Jesus of Nazareth. We don't do that, because every time we commit a sin, we're off the directive will of God for your life, and we simply have to get back. By using rebound, we're back. That's why we have the wavy line on page 682. But if those wavy lines is for illustration purposes only, because there's a lot more waves on your line than that. Because I know my line has a lot of waves on it. But we're progressing. We take three steps forward, one step backward, four steps forward, three steps backward, five steps forward, seven steps backward. But eventually, you just keep moving forward. So, point C, we have the big picture. The believer should always keep the big picture in mind and rely on God for his perfect timing. And we quoted, of course, 2 Timothy 4:6-8, where Paul said, yes, I know that my time is ending because your time is going to end. My time is going to end. But see, he could say with confidence in 2 Timothy 4, and you can read that for yourself, that he said, yeah, I know my time is ending. But he looked back over his life. He says, I've fought the good fight. I've kept the course. And I'm going to have rewards. And he specifically mentioned the crown of righteousness. Well, that is a crown that will be given to you when you reach a level of maturity. And there are different levels of maturity, but there's a baseline level of maturity, spiritual self-esteem, and then you have spiritual autonomy, and then you have the super spiritual status of the very highest. So Paul knew at a minimum he's getting the crown of righteousness. And he said, I've got that. And he said, it's also available to anybody that reaches maturity. And that's these very true things. Then the next point we have is bad timing on the next page, which is page 683. Getting into the cosmic system, that's always bad timing because Satan is a time stealer. He's stealing the time. He's stealing the breath right out of your lungs. And he wants to do that. He wants to get people distracted with whatever is your bag, as we used to say back in the days. So some people are very concerned with the environment. They spend all their time trying to save the whales or whatever. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you neglect Bible doctrine, all your time is gone. I mean, you know, whatever it is. Whales are killed by windmills, they say. Build all the windmills out there and all the whales die. So you're trying to do a good thing, you think, and yet you're actually doing a bad thing. But I don't want to get sidetracked because everybody has their passions in life. And I want this, I want that. Crusaders are the worst because they're going to change the world. No, you're not. The Bible says, no, you're not. But the liberal says, yes, I am. I'm going to reimagine everything. We're coming up on our 250th anniversary, and they don't like the founding principles. And, of course, the founding principles, they think they're smarter than the founders. They think they're smarter than God. God endorses capitalism. They hate capitalism. So they try socialism. It always collapses because they think they're smarter than the Word of God. Incredible. But they're wasting their time. These are believers I'm talking about. And then we have point E, which is wait on the Lord's timing. And that's the case of Joseph, wrongfully accused of rape, put in jail, thrown him down there. And he was being tested because God has to test the Bible doctrine in your soul, as you know. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, that's your brain, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. God will take care of you. All your ways, just acknowledge God. And then point 7 is day by day. Time is segmented into days, and so therefore, take a day at a time, because you have an inner man that is taking in Bible doctrine day by day, according to 2 Corinthians 4:16. In your inner man, what's your inner man? Well, your inner man is who you are. It's your soul. Your outer man, the body, is gonna. It's simply a house for the soul. So again, 2 Corinthians 4:16 tells you to take it in. Into our inner Bible doctrine, into our inner man day by day. Psalm 25:5, lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day. Now there's a smart believer. He wants God to lead him in your truth and teach me. Well, that's God's directive will. So this prayer lines up exactly with what God wants you to do. So it's a win-win situation. That's a wonderful prayer. Lead me in your truth. What is truth? Aletheia in the Greek. It's Bible doctrine. And teach me. You got to be taught. Someone has to teach you. You cannot teach yourself. Someone has to teach you. You've got to find a well-qualified pastor, teacher to teach you. And that's just the way it's always been. And this was written 3,000 years ago. Psalm 90:12. So teach, again, that word is yada, which means to learn to know, us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. That's the whole goal. you're going to present to God a heart, that's your brain, of wisdom. Wisdom is the application of Bible doctrine to reality. That's all it is. But if you don't have it, then you can't apply it, obviously. And then shortened days. Time is lost, that's point eight, to the negative volition believer through divine discipline and suffering. And of course, the sin of arrogance destroys and shortens the days for the negative volition loser believer, which can culminate in the sin unto death. You can just shorten your days right up. Hebrews 3:13. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today. Well, if you're alive, it's still called today. So we're to encourage one another. And of course, this is back when congregations, they didn't have the electronic means to learn Bible doctrine. You can reach maturity simply with your tape recorder or your whatever these devices are by yourself. You don't need to be around other knuckleheads. Not a requirement. In the old days, you did have to be around other knuckleheads because they didn't have the electronic methodologies. So we have no excuse, absolutely no excuse. And people use these verses, well, forsake not the gathering yourselves together. They think that God just wants you to get together and fellowship with other Christians. No, this is, you got to look at the Bible when it was written in the time. They had to get together. That's why the forsake not the gathering yourselves together, not so you could share apple pie recipes, so you can gather together to learn Bible doctrine from a qualified pastor teacher. That's it. I know people that have reached maturity without hardly ever going to a physical church. It can be done. In fact, in the tribulation, when all the believers are taken off the earth, how do you think people are going to reach maturity so quickly? Electronic methodologies. They're going to be saved, and then they're going to find some type of electronic methodology for someone to teach them. Because from the get-go, there are no teachers. They're all gone. Oh, there's false teachers, but they're not going to lead you anywhere. They're not saved. So you've got to find a well-qualified pastor, and a well-qualified pastor takes about 10, 20, 30 years before they open their mouth. If they're well-qualified, well, where are you going to get that at the start of the tribulation? You're not. There are none, except electronically. So God's timing is perfect, and we have this technology today that provides the answer to that question. I'm sure people thought about that maybe 200 years ago. How are these people going to get to maturity in the tribulation? Who's going to teach them? Well, we know the answer to that now. And so it says, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Well, Satan is a liar. He's a murderer. And he's deceitful. So sin includes, of course, all the things you think about sin. But sin is also part of the coin of evil. And the other side of the coin is human good. And then point nine is long days. If I ask anybody to say, do you want to live a long time? Unless you're in horrible pain and you're on your deathbed, you're basically saying, no, I'm good. Take me out. But most of us right now look very healthy. You would say, do you want to live a long time? Everybody raise their hand. Yes. That's one of the things you want to do. Well, how do you do it? Well, you consistently take in Bible doctrine and grow to maturity, and it will result in a long life for you as a winner believer. Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord, that word yirah, which is the vocabulary form is Y-A-R-A, means to respect the Lord, not to be emotionally afraid of the Lord. You fear the Lord. You respect the Lord. So the respect of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. Psalm 34:12-14. Who is the man who desires life and loves length of days? We all raise our hand there. That he may see good. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from deceit. Seek peace and pursue it. Depart from evil and do good. The do good, there's divine good. Seek peace and pursue it. I got it backwards, but seek peace and pursue it. What's peace? Peace is reconciliation. This is not world peace. This is the reconciliation between God and man. And you pursue that. The doctrine of reconciliation is critical. And then Ecclesiastes 7:17-18. Do not be excessively wicked and do not be a fool. Why should you die before your time? God has set out in a book what he wants you to do. Escrow of blessings in that account. That's what he wants to provide for you. Do you want it? Well, this is for the fool. And so this is the fool. They don't want it. It says, why should you die before your time? That's the sin unto death. He will kill you off early. The sin unto death. Now, when you see somebody dying at an early age, you can't assume it's the sin unto death. Look up the doctrine of death. It's like a ear of corn. When it's perfectly ready, God will pick the ear. So we don't judge other people. Oh, they're dying this and unto death. Well, maybe they're getting suffering for blessing. That's what Job's friends thought. Well, he must have done some horrible sin. He's dying this and unto death. No, he wasn't. He was getting suffering for blessing. And some people do die early, like that wonderful pastor teacher in Revelation, Antipas, died early. So you really don't make judgment, but this is a point of doctrine. There are negative believers that will die a horrible death. And then he says, it is good you grasp one thing, which is Bible doctrine, and also not let go of the other, which is living a long life. For the one who respects God, fears God, and that's Y-A-R-E, which means to revere, comes forth with both of them. You get both. You not only get the spiritual maturity, but you get the long life that you wanted. Get both of them. And the word of God cannot lie. So do not be excessively wicked. We're all wicked, but don't be excessively wicked. And do not be a fool. The fool says in his heart, the unbeliever, there is no God. The fool believer says, I'm not interested in Bible doctrine. You're a fool. And then 10 is buy back the time. The winner believer organizes and prioritizes his time by wisely redeeming, which is buying back time. How do you buy back time? By learning and applying Bible doctrine. Lots of verses there. And Hebrews 5:12-14 describes a loser believer, saved for a long time, but they have no knowledge of Bible doctrine. Remember that passage where the writer of Hebrews says, by this time, you've been exposed to so much Bible doctrine, you should be the teacher. You should be doing the class. But you're not even a baby. You're still a baby. How's that happen? Well, you just don't. You're not responding to it. And then, of course, you have Revelation chapter 3, verse 18. I, Jesus Christ, advise you, that's a believer, to buy from me gold refined by fire. And that is, the gold is Bible doctrine. The refining by fire is the pastor teacher takes the gold out of the ground, because most gold doesn't come out like a nice little pure gold coin. It's mixed in with quartz and other things. You have to refine it by fire and you get the gold. Well, that's the job of the pastor teacher. Pull out Bible doctrine, put it in categories, refine it, and give it to you. And you get the gold coins. And with gold coins, you can buy stuff so that you may become rich. And white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. And that's, of course, the judgment seat of Christ. Many people will be ashamed because they didn't buy anything. They had nothing. They bought nothing because they had no gold coins to buy it with, because they didn't go to Bible class. They didn't learn from a pastor teacher. It's a metaphor, obviously. And they're going to be ashamed of the judgment seat of Christ. They'll be naked. And eye salve, to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Paul had eye problems, we know that. And of course, this is some type of eye ointment that you put on your eyes and help you see a little bit better. And that's what Bible doctrine does. It gives you the light. Lots of different analogies. The light of the world. You hold up the lantern, which is Bible doctrine, you see where you're going. If you don't have a light, try to walk in the darkness. See what happens. Not going to work out well. Ephesians 5:15-18. Therefore, be careful how you walk. This is your lifestyle, peripateo. Not as unwise men, this is to believers, but as wise, making the most of your time. Yes, making the most of your time. You have time, make the most of it. Because the days are evil. Poneros. Every day is evil. Every day has problems. Every day has challenges. And that's why we have the problem-solving devices. So then, do not be foolish. Again, the fool. Don't be a fool. The word fool means without reason. And then it says, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Well, what is the will of the Lord? For you to reach maturity. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Well, that's step one, because this is constant. This battleground goes on your entire life, and you've got to be here before you can start going here. That's why he's saying, okay, let's start over again. Be filled with the Spirit. Rebound the absolute side of your spiritual life so we can work on the relative side of your spiritual life. They're tandem. They work in tandem all the time. That's the secret to our success, is rebound and keep moving. Keep moving forward. And then point 11, never hurry time. The winner believer fits into God's timing per John 15:16 by means of Bible doctrine and soul. He does not worry. He knows that God will provide an open door at the right time for all the things in his life. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Same concept in Matthew 6:27. And who of you being worried can add a single hour to his life? Rhetorical question. Nobody. You can't worry and add hours to your life. You can be very hot for Bible doctrine and add a lot of hours to your life. Absolutely. We saw those verses. You want a long life? Here's the key. You come out with both of them. But by worrying, people worry about this, worry about that. You can't change anything. So don't be in a hurry. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 35:4. God can't lie. So delight yourself in the Lord. How do you delight yourself in the Lord? Well, you study Bible doctrine. That's your number one priority. Whatever delights you is going to be your number one priority. And if that's not your number one priority, then make it your number one priority, and it will delight you. And he will give you the desires of your heart. God can't lie. Isaiah 54. The Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples, that I might know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. And so this is, of course, speaking about, it's a prediction, prophecy about the Lord. And the me here is a capital M, which is correct. The Lord God has given me, Jesus, the tongue of disciples, that I might know, that I might know how to sustain the weary one with a word. And he awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen to as a disciple. So you're not only putting out the word of God, but you're also taking it in. Jesus had to grow to maturity. It wasn't a magical download for him and his humanity. There's no transfer of his deity into the humanity. He had to learn just like you learn. Now, he accelerated as no human has ever done because he had no old sin nature. And he reached spiritual maturity way before he reached puberty. In fact, he was at the temple there teaching the teachers as a young man, as a boy. So yes, he learned it in his humanity. And you can do it as well. 12, seek the Lord. Seek Bible doctrine where there's still time. Life is short. And with old age comes the breakdown of the faculties for thinking and retaining the word. That's just the way it is. Indeed, at physical death, the opportunity for advancement in the Christian way of life is over. Eternal rewards are based on the believer's decisions to grow up spiritually in his lifetime right now. And yes, there'll come a point where many people, your mental faculties will slow down. And some people will go into dementia and Alzheimer's. They can't take anything in. In fact, R.B. Thieme, my pastor teacher, he went into the dementia stuff and Alzheimer's, and it was over. He lived a few more years in his mortal body, but he had Bible doctrine circulating in his system. As I've mentioned many times, he would listen to a tape of himself, wouldn't realize it was him, but he would say, "That person knows what they're talking about." That's amazing. It's a tribute to the Bible doctrine in his soul. It's just trapped. It can't express out anymore, and it can't take in. But it was still circulating. He just didn't know who he was. But he could still recognize Bible doctrine. It's amazing. Because Bible doctrine is always there. You'll take that with you. But there'll come a time when you're going to slow down. That's just the way it is. And some people will slow down early in life, and some won't. So if you're still young, everybody's still young here, maybe not everybody, but I've got most people beat. So there will come a time when that game over. You might still be doing the floppy chicken for another 5 years, but game's over. You're not taking any more in. So do it now. It's called the doctrine of running, because this is your one opportunity to do the blitz and to get up to the highest levels of spiritual maturity. And there you go. Isaiah 55:6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And again, that word near means near of time in the Hebrew. Near of time. He gives you the time. 1 Peter 1:24-25, for all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. Remember, he was a pastor teacher, and Peter was very concerned. He said, I'm going to recall this to your mind, and I'm going to do this again and again and again and again. And that's very true. I was out cutting grass yesterday, all dead. And it's just, you know, it's easy to cut dead grass, but it's kind of keeping it low to the ground. And it's, yeah, withers away. It goes real quick. So does your life. You think it's long, it's not long. Real quick. And then suffering in time, verse 13, or point for 13. God can only demonstrate his grace via suffering for blessing for the winner believer to reach spiritual maturity in this short lifetime. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power, dunamis, that's the Greek word, is perfected. And that's teleo, which means to bring to a close, to complete in weakness. And that is divine suffering for blessing. So yes, it's not fun to get old. This part gives out, that part gets out, a lot of pain, a lot of suffering. But his power is perfected in suffering. This is the only time that he can allow suffering to infect your mortal body is now. And eternity goes on for a long time. There's no more pain, no more suffering, no more tears. All these things are gone. This is a very short window because he can show his glory in your blessing, in your comfort. But can you reflect his glory in pain? That's the question. And so it's a very short window. And yes, you can do it. Yes, you can. Absolutely. If you have Bible doctrine, and that's your number one priority. But this window is the only time in all of eternity. You're going to go on for a long time. So don't be a wimp. When it comes, embrace it. Because it's here, and God allows it to happen. So it's okay to pray that suffering goes away. But it's either going to go away, it's going to stay the same, or it will intensify. But whatever way it goes, it's God's will. So yes, there's nothing wrong with praying that, you know, this malady will go away or that malady will go away. I do it all the time myself. But what if it doesn't? Well, that means God wants you to endure it. And that's that verse there in 2 Corinthians. Peter had a horrible malady. Take it away, take it away, take it away. Pray and take it away. Nothing wrong with saying the prayer, but it wasn't taken away. And God allowed it because his suffering, he allowed a demon to attack Paul. Yours might be just natural suffering with old age. But is he going to allow a demon to start punching you? It says he was punching me. And Paul had been through a lot of suffering. He was beat repeatedly by the Jews with a whip. He was beat by the Romans. He was shipwrecked. He was starved. He never did take it away when those things happened. So when this demon started working on him, that pain was to the point where he wanted it to go away. The rest of the time, he realized, well, God knows where I'm shipwrecked. If it's my time to die, it's my time to die. He said, yes, I'll endure this beating by the Jews, by the Romans. He didn't do this prayer then. So whatever it was that hit him was beyond the pain that he had known. And you get 39 lashes with a whip on your bare back, that's pretty intense. And that happened to him on several occasions. He lists all the sufferings that he had, but on this occasion, he snapped. And the Lord said, no, I'm not taking it away. Not right now. He eventually did take it away, but he said, my grace is sufficient for you. What does that mean? You're reflecting Bible doctrine in this. You're a subject matter expert witness in the angelic conflict, and you're being cross-examined right now. So, yeah. And Paul understood that. He came to understand it. In weakness, he says, your power is perfected in weakness. And his weaknesses, his power can overcome whatever that weakness is. Now, Paul was getting this test. That's one of the roof drops in on your head tests at the very top of his game. He's a mature believer getting that test. You're not going to get that test until you reach that level because testing is part of the way that we all grow. Okay, so that's the doctrine of time. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 22, verse 10, and recapture that verse. And he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. And we know that this means the rapture is the next event that's going to occur, but the word time causes us to go into the doctrine of time. One of my favorite verses in the doctrine of time, when we covered that, was my times are in your hands. And that's a wonderful passage. Because your times are in his hands. That's it. And you can choose that prayer when you're approaching death. My times are in your hands. You know the time. I don't know the exact time, but all of us will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And when you do that, you're on your own. There's nobody walking with you. They can pat you on the head and comfort you, give you a pillow or whatever, but you're going through it alone. Actually, the literal translation is, you are with me even though I walk through a death-shadowed valley. But it sounds better, the valley of the shadow of death. And in verse 11, we switch gears here. Let the one who does wrong, and the word for wrong here is adikeo, A-D-I-K-E-O, and that means to sin, to do wrong. You're in the cosmic system. And that is written to the unbeliever, but also here in the context to the believer. Let the one who does wrong, because most believers do wrong. That's just the way it is. They're not serious students of the Word of God. Bores them, bothers them. They have no desire for it whatsoever. So let the one who does wrong still do wrong. You do you, free will. And the one who is filthy still be filthy. The word for filthy is R-H-U-P-A-R-O-S, rupharos. And this means, again, that you are clothing yourselves with filthiness. You're not clothing yourselves with Bible doctrine. You're filthy. You can be clean and be filthy. There, nothing about them is reflecting divine truth. And if it's not divine truth, it's filthiness. So you fill up your soul with the Word of God. That's not filthiness. Everything else is filthiness. And so let the one who does wrong still do wrong, and the one who is filthy still be filthy. So as Christians, we're very tolerant. We don't try to straighten other believers out. Oh, you need to go to Bible class. You need to do this, that. No. You do you. If they have a question, you're ready to answer any questions they have, but you can't change people. So don't even try. You can expose them to truth, and if they don't want it, hey, have a nice day. So let the one who does wrong still do wrong, and the one who is filthy still be filthy. That's going to happen. That's going to occur. And then he's got a semicolon. And Kai, let the one who is righteous, and that's dikaios, D-I-K-A-I-O-S, and this is the one that seeks God. Let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness. Practice is poieo, which means to do, P-O-I-E-O, and you're going to practice righteousness, dikaiosune. That's the word of God. And the one who is holy, that's hagios. This is a believer that is using rebound and moving forward. Still keep himself holy. It's you that are the gauge here. You gauge yourself. Do you want to be holy or do you want to be filthy? Do you want to be righteous or do you want to do wrong? You're the gatekeeper. So you still keep himself holy. God doesn't magically turn this way or that way for your volition. You've got to be the guardian of your soul. And you're either going to be filthy or you're going to be clothe yourself with righteousness and be holy. And God commands you, be holy for I am holy. Well, how do you be holy? Boom. Rebound a lot. And keep moving. That's it. And we're going to get a nice verse on this to amplify that in our next section. So if you've got your Bible, while we're going to take a quick break, go to John chapter 15, verse 1, because that's where we're going. With our head bowed and our eyes closed, Father, thank you for the privilege of studying your holy word this morning. We ask that God the Holy Spirit will slam these things into our soul and make them a source of blessing in our lives. In Christ's name, amen.